coming up on this episode of Cryptid Addicted.
Get away from me! You're trying to see me naked!
So New York is just full of Tassie Tigers on the subway.
Oh, who was it, the Finch guy? Oh, Charles Darwin.
Hello!
Hey.
Hi. No time for chit-chat. Let's get into it.
Okay.
Megan, this is from Anonymous on email. Megan, I think that Patty sways you with fancy words sometimes. Do you ever finish the record and then think, oh crap, no, I do believe in that?
Yes.
That's all the fucking time. No, I just that one time when we did the marsupial lion, I was so sure when we started, and I don't think it was your fancy words that swayed me, because I've had, 15 years of hearing these fancy words, and I feel like I hold my own. I don't know why I dissuade on that one. I think you may have said something that hit home with me, which I can't remember now, so I can disregard.
I mean, the same happens in reverse. Sometimes you bring me around on shit that I'm embarrassed you were able to bring me around on. And you come to your senses later and you're like, ugh.
Yeah, I don't know if that's my fancy word usage, but that's cute. this one, okay, a million people asked me this and like have been asking me since the dawn of time. How do you spell Patty / Paddy?
Oh.
So they spelled it P-A-D-D-Y / P-A-T-T-Y.
Fucking, you know what? I get this constantly. I get this
in life.
From any cafe I go to. You go to a cafe and they're like, oh, can I have your name for the coffee? And it's like, well, no, you don't need that. Just make my fucking beverage, please, minimum wage worker.
Oh, my God.
And then you tell them, and yeah, they always write Patty with two T's. It's P-A-D-D-Y, D for dad, D for dog, D for dumb. that's what it is. Not Patty, not anything else. And it is short for Padraic, which is P-A-D-R-A-I-C. You can also pronounce it Padraic, but don't.
Oh.
Call me Patty.
I never heard Padraic.
It's gotten so bad. I used to work in a call center, a complaints line, essentially, like for a particular company, HelloFresh, and when people got like moldy carrots or whatever, they'd call up and shout at me. And that was my job. And you always have to open the call being like, hello, this is HelloFresh, my name is Patty. And people would always be like, what? What was it? So I had to lie and say that my name was Patraic. And I do that at cafes now as well. I'm like, it's Patraic. It's not Patraic. My name is not Patraic. It's Padraic or Padraic or Paddy. But Patraic people get, because, you know, that's what every Irishman is called, I guess.
Yeah.
How do people not know Paddy? Paddy's such a common name. Like, how do you fucking misspell that? How many Patties are there? Patty is a shit name. Anyway. But that, I hope that clears it up for everyone.
Clears it up, I hope. I'll let you know. Okay, this is from Anonymous. Hey, Megan, I think you've become more skeptical as the episodes have gone by. Do you think so, and why? I would agree. I think I've said that in the last couple of episodes that I'm becoming not too skeptical, but like skeptical. Mm. I think it's really easy to believe in something when you have filtered in biased information. So, for example, I was really upset looking at the Loch Ness Monster, because I was like, it's one of the best, biggest cryptids. Of course it's real. It's cool. This thing happened and this thing happened. And then when I actually sat down and researched it, I was like, it's really fake. It's such a hoax. It's not real at all. So usually more information means that I learn what I believe is closer to the truth, which is certain things are definitely not real, which may seem more skeptical, but...
I have a theory about this, actually, about why you're getting more skeptical. I don't think it's that I'm, like, bringing around over the years or chipping away at you or anything. I think what it is that you've learned about so many cryptids now, some of which have really strong evidence behind them, that the bar has been raised. If you're coming to cryptozoology fresh, you've probably just heard of a couple cryptids and you've seen some, like, sightings and stuff. Once you become familiar with, like, the whole world of cryptids, you know, like, you know that there are some cryptids that have really amazing evidence behind them, and that's the bar, kind of. Mm. So if someone comes to you with, like, oh, there's a fucking pig frog in Canada, and my mate reckons he saw it, it's like, well, that's not good enough, you know? Mm. You're becoming a bit of an expert, and, yeah, you the standards are higher.
That's a good theory.
And that's how it is with any field of knowledge.
Yeah, that's a good theory. That's a good theory. All right, that's fair.
Yeah.
Okay. Tony from Instagram, Tony with an I. If you could have any cryptid as a pet, which would it be?
Oh, okay. We've covered all the sorts of things we can do to cryptids. We could fuck them, we could kill them, we could eat them, we could, and now we're enslaving them as our pets.
Yeah, I mean, having something as like a yaoi or a Bigfoot as a pet is too close to slavery. You need something that's kind of dumb and happy being around you and getting pet and stuff fed and things. Oh, I've got mine. I'm so happy with it.
What?
The Tasmanian tiger.
Yeah? For real?
Yeah, they're like dogs, but marsupials. Tassie tiger.
Okay. I would probably go the Fangalabola just because I've always wanted to have, like, a falcon or something, and this would be a bit like that. You know, you could, like, send it to... You could live in, like, a tower or an apartment, and you could spot something and be like, hunt, and then I would, like, go, wah! And I would go, like, go get the thing.
You'd be the weird bat guy.
Yeah, you'd be the weird bat guy, yeah.
All right, that's fair. Okay, next question. This is from Stephanie from email. Hey, Patty! What makes you so skeptical? And at what age did you become so skeptical?
I don't think I'm skeptical. I guess what it is, and this caused me some problems, I guess. So it's not necessarily a good thing, but like I trust facts more than I trust people. I suppose that's what it is. Like if someone tells me a story, and it's inconsistent with the facts that I know already, I'm inclined to disbelieve the story. I have always been like that, I think. But it probably was entrenched through my studies. So I studied maths, I studied law, I studied philosophy, which are all very based on logic. And, you know, if this and that, then this sort of stuff. Yeah.
That's cool. Iannis from Instagram asks, one question for you, Megan. Would your dream be to have your own Destination Truth style TV show,
mm-mm,
or not your thing in practice? So I think he's saying, like, would that be your dream to have a Destination Truth, or like if that actually got put on the table, would I be like, ah? So MIL talk. No, that is absolutely my dream. Travel. Adventure, cryptids, culture.
Archaeology.
Screw archaeology. I'm all about the zoology. Absolutely. That'd be so amazing. And then, like, I could bring all these adventures, like, on camera and then, like, share it with people I love and care about and, like, inspire people to get out in the wild and look for things. And I'd be so down.
Nice.
Cool.
God, I feel like taking a nap just hearing about all that action. That was a good question.
Ah, it's cute, yeah.
Cool.
Okay. Okay, this is so clearly a throwaway Reddit account. Concerned citizen 1x82, and then it had like heaps of other numbers, which I stopped writing. Got bored and just left it at that. Hi, Megan. I've seen on the Cryptid Addicted Instagram that you use yourself for human bait. That's where I use that all the time. In brackets, i.e. like with Ishii in Japan or Bigfoot in Canada. What would happen if the monster turns up, though? I would die. I would be eaten. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Bigfoot doesn't kill people often, right? Like, it just scares them and throws stuff, but it kind of keeps its distance a bit.
It definitely has killed people.
Oh, yeah, but, like, vapes have killed people, but, you know, it's... Like, it hasn't killed more than, like, a dozen people, right?
Oh, I don't know. Probably more. That's a hard statistic to pull out of thin air. Okay. All right. I would... Okay, if it turned up, I would, A, try and get at least one clear photo or video if I was filming, and I when I watch like ghost adventure shows and like especially Destination Truth, one criticism I had is they hear something, they see something like rustling and they go, oh my God, and they run away the other way. I'm like, this is what you're here for. Get in there.
Do your fucking job.
So I'd like to think if something turned up, I would be ballsy enough to be like, I gotta get something. Like, this is a once in a lifetime.
Yeah. And you go with people sometimes, like with a cameraman or your brother or whatever. So, I mean, there's safety in numbers.
Yeah. So if something turned up, I think I would hopefully be brave enough to get a photo.
Because if not, I would laugh at you forever.
Like, you blew it. Okay. Chris in the Sheets, Instagram. Patty, how did the Fish and Wildlife Department job go, and where are you, and what are you doing now?
Oh, so it was a Parks and Wildlife job. Did involve some fish, but there wasn't a fisheries department or anything. It was just a 6-month rotation, and I actually end up leaving like 3 or 4 months in, not because I didn't like it, just because I got a better job offer. I'm not doing that now. Now I work on like energy stuff. I don't want to get into it because it's boring, but it was cool. It was a really cool place to work, actually. Parks departments are a weird mix of like half the people are like ex-cops or ex-military or ex-firemen. So like capable people. You have to be fire trained to be in the parks department, especially in Australia, because you got to help out whenever there's bushfires. You have to be pretty handy. You have to like animals. You do a lot of work with animals and with zoos and stuff.
We don't have to like animals because you don't like animals.
Yeah, but I fucking had to leave, right? Like to stay there long term, I think you do. Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of cool. Not for me, but I can see why you would get into it.
Yeah, cool. Wow, that's a cool question.
Hmm.
Okay, next question is from Hilcha from email. Do you really believe that the footprint you found was from a Yowie? In brackets, I do.
No, I don't. Good question, because we've faffed around in that area for a while. We've been like, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Good on you pinning us down. This is the I imagine you are now experiencing the satisfying feeling of pinning down an idiot and forcing them to admit they're wrong.
She said I do, or he.
Oh God, that's right. Oh, okay, damn. Would have been good if you were a skeptic. Because this is this is the weak link in our chain.
They're on my side. I believe it was from a Yowie because it was insanely hard, compact sand. Paddy had a go at taking his shoe off and trying to make a stamp right next to it on either side, and it did nothing. And he really went for it. There's a video of it on our YouTube if you want to go for it. There was no one around. Also, there was a single footprint coming out of the bush.
This was like 100 meters from like suburbia. This is not where the Yowie is. And it was not a big footprint. It wasn't wide. It was a bit deeper than I could make. But like the water levels rise and go down. Like the soil gets softer and harder over the day.
It wasn't huge. It wasn't long. I would say it was from a juvenile Yowie. And that is
juvenile
my
Yowie.
Opinion.
Or perhaps a human, maybe. I don't think so. But yeah.
I can't believe I let you put your foot in that footprint. That is like one of my deepest regrets. I should have cast that. How amazing would that be on my desk? Oh, I have regrets.
It's just someone's fucking sneaker print or something, Megan.
We would have been able to analyze it a lot better if I had cast it and we could have like looked at it in 3D. And we'd be like, oh, look, that looks different. Those feet look...
I don't want to spend my days looking at footprint casts, but okay.
Oh, I do. All right. Agree to disagree. But if you want to hear my opinions on the Yowie, then you can come to that conference. The Research and Witness Convention 2020. Check it out. Okay. It's going to be advertised. We'll put it out on our social media or something. Okay. This one's good. Anonymous email. Hola, Patty. If someone has poor spelling or grammar while recounting their sighting, do you immediately discount them in your mind? If so, don't you think that's quite small-minded and actually prejudiced of you? For example,
what a loaded question.
If a Spanish man saw a beast, and wants to tell you who speak and who you speaks English.
Yeah, and I get the gist. Yeah.
But doesn't nail the language, do you immediately not believe them?
No, not at all. I enjoy making fun of people with bad spelling and poor grammar as a hobby, but I really do try not to let that color my my view of their credibility. I completely, like, my part of my job at the moment is people from all over the country write into us with their complaints and stuff, and often the people with the best articulated complaints don't have as much to say, and often the people who write in and the letter's a complete mess have real problems that need addressing. So I'm very aware of that, and I'm very aware of the people English second language or who have other things that make it hard for them to communicate clearly, like a mental disability or whatever.
Yeah. Patty's only pretending to be a dickhead.
But I enjoy being a dick. It's fun. So that's why I do it. But I try to keep it separate.
Okay. This is from Ustov Jaka on email. If you could replace one known animal with a cryptid, which would you choose?
What? Replace? What
Like get rid of one known animal and sub in a cryptid to be a known animal. Like, I would get rid of, I would get rid of rats. Screw rats. I hate rats.
Okay. And what would you replace them with?
I would replace it with the Tassie tiger, because it's a real tragedy that we lost those. We hunted them to extinction.
So New York is just full of Tassie tigers on the subway.
No, I don't think this question means add every Tassie tiger to all the rats that we aim to get. I think it just means if we took away one, if we eradicated one species and we let the other species be as it could be not naturally, which would it be?
All right, so I think it's an ill-posed question. I would get rid of flies, I think. I fucking hate flies, and I don't know what they're for except for feeding frogs. It's probably some delicate balance that I don't understand, but I hate them. And I don't think it makes sense to replace a fly with any cryptid, because there is no cryptid that could fill the role that flies fill. So I refuse to answer. Yeah, let's go.
Okay. This is from Timothy from Instagram. He says, do you swear more or less in reality?
Ooh, it depends on the audience. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes more.
I swear more usually. Yeah. Like if we were hanging out and not recording, I think we would swear more.
I'd swear more. Yeah, I think.
And we wouldn't have to beep certain things and cut certain R18 plus jokes.
Yeah. Actually, I think it would be not so much swearing more, although there would be a bit swearing more. It would be more just like dirtier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. This is from Luca on email. They say, hello, I'd like to know what gear you take on expeditions and what gear you wish you had. I'll answer this super quickly. I take a very high power camera, including a macro lens, a standard lens, and a zoom lens, very important. I take a audio recorder, which helps pick up really quiet sounds. So if I'm ever doing like a quiet session and listening for calls, that helps. I take a GoPro, which is waterproof, it's rugged, and it can get more wide shots. And I take binoculars, but they're really cheap and crap. What else do I take? I mean, it depends what you mean by gear. I obviously have like waders and good shoes and pants with lots of pockets. I also have like a lapel mic if I do certain video stuff. But I mean, that's the main stuff.
Nice.
Chris in the Sheets Instagram says, what's the funniest memory you have of each other? Funniest.
How do you remember the funniest time? Like, I keep some catalog? I refuse to answer again.
Fine. Well, I'm going to tell you a funny story, which is an embarrassing story as well. Unless you want me to not. And then I will cut it, because it's your life. I have a very, very funniest story, memory of Patty from maybe like 2-3 years ago, maybe 4 even, where we were at a party and it was sloppy and it was a toga party, and so we all made like togas out of sheets, and Patty didn't tie his, he like used a series of intricate safety pins for some reason. And at some point in the night he got all like confused and drunk and was in the garden like being confused and drunk, and like his toga had sort of disintegrated, and I went over to help him, and he was, I don't know, but possibly naked underneath, but I don't know.
Yeah, I was.
But I was like trying to help him piece his dignity back together. And all he kept doing, and he had blood all over your hands and all over the white sheet because you spiked yourself on the pin. And I was trying to, like, safety pin you back together. And you were like, no, get away from me. You're trying to see me naked. Patty, the mum here is looking at you. Please let me help you put the toga back on. You were like, get away from me. I am not a piece of meat.
My body is sacred.
It was so funny. It was so funny. And you were like, you've got blood on my sheet. And I was like, that's not me. So funny.
That's very good.
So irrelevant to the podcast, but enjoy. Okay, so Super Samion email says, I love your podcast and I want to start my own. How do you record with Patty overseas? That's intricate, but there's absolutely a more basic way you can do it. If you both have Skype, you can record the Skype conversation and it will output it as an MP3. Or maybe a WAV file or something. So you can just import that audio straight into your editing software and big bam, boom. We use a slightly more intricate setting where Patty talks into his mic, it goes through my computer, I record it on my audio recorder, and then it goes into my ears so I can hear him. And I talk into my microphone, which was recorded on the editing software, and then I stitch it together. It's a real pain in the ass. But yeah.
Why don't we do the simple way?
Because the quality is shit in comparison.
Ah, nice.
And I'm a perfectionist. here we go. This is cute. Sierra from Instagram says, for Patty, I'd love to see you in more expedition videos. In brackets, I love Megan's ones too. My question is, when is your next one together? Please say soon.
Aww.
So cute.
Not soon.
Well, we live in different countries, but...
Yeah. We'd like to meet up. The difficulty is I don't make that much money.
There was talks of Russia. Patty wants to go to Russia for reasons. I want to go to Russia to look for that Almasti. And we thought, why not combine and have a super duper Russian holiday?
That would be cool. But not in the next year. So there's the answer to the question, sadly.
Yeah. Cool.
I'm glad you like the expedition videos, though.
Yeah, it's cute. This is actually a similar one. Tamonga from Reddit said, can you please go to look for the Yeti together? It's not a question, but it's got an exclamation mark and a question mark. So it's like he was... Oh, no, I suppose it is. It's like a begging question. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. Jack is back to on Reddit says, how did you come up with the name for the podcast, Cryptid Addicted?
It was you, wasn't it?
Yeah, we had like a couple of short running lists. We wanted something kind of interesting, fun, plays with the English language.
And then we went with Cryptid Addicted instead.
Patty had a few front runners that was like fairies, fables, and folklore or something like that. I can't remember. You had like a little alliteration jig, and I had like monsters and mates or something, and then Cryptid Addicted. And I thought Cryptid Addicted rolled off the tongue well. You also thought so, and we liked it, so we went with it.
Yeah, it was a while. It's been a week or two, like, thinking about it.
Yeah, it's true. And this is the final listener question. It's Chris in the Sheets again. Thank you so much for the great questions. I did leave some out, but I had to keep most in because they were really good. They say, what do you see as the future of the podcast, and do you think you'll ever tour? How cute is that?
Oh, what does a podcast tour even look like? Like book signings kind of thing?
No, it's like you go hire a venue somewhere and you do a live episode of the podcast on a stage.
Right. You go first, because it is sort of like, as much as I'm a co-host, Megan does 90% of the work, and it's her brainchild. She came up with it in the first place and proposed it to me and roped me in, and it's her thing.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of thinking about this, and obviously this is our 2-year anniversary, so we're looking at the podcast and where we want to take it, where we want to evolve it, where we want to streamline it. And we've been talking about this actually before we started recording. We're going to make sure we prioritize quality over quantity. So we're going to be moving the questions episodes to our Patreon, putting them behind a $1 a month Patreon subscription sort of thing. So that way we sort of reward our supporters with an extra episode. And then for the normal episodes, the big episodes and the Who Dis, we're going to go to a bi-weekly schedule. So it just gives us more time to make sure we're giving you great content that is quality. Then for the future of the podcast, like I said, I'm doing some speaking events. So I'm going to do the Research and Witness Convention 2020. I'm also doing an event with Deborah Hatswell, who is the British Bigfoot leading research expert, basically, and also just an amazing woman generally. I'm also doing a radio show interview where I'm going to be interviewed coming up, so I'll give you some more details. As for touring, I would love to do that. I don't know if people want to see that, but if you do, I suppose let us know, and if enough of you want it.
Maybe we should set a target, like once we get a certain number of listens or something, we will go on do a tour. We probably want it to be pretty big because we don't want to like rent out a town hall and then like one guy shows up and he's like, well, who's a cryptid? Is there beer? Yeah. So.
Yeah, or like we hire a pub and do like a really like chill something. I don't know.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
Yeah. Oh, God. People are going to come up and talk to me at a pub then. I don't that.
Perfect. And yeah, we're just going to be refining the podcast, keeping the quality up and just making it better. I'm going on more expeditions and I'm going to be getting those expedition videos out because I've been a bit slack about that. They're really hard to edit, which is no excuse, but they are very cool and I'm very proud of them and I think you'll like them. So keep an eye out on our YouTube channel. So that's the future, man.
Yeah, I think less, well, still quite free. Like if you sign up, it'll be like one thing every week, which is a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, keeping it crisp.
Yeah.
And tight.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that is the end of the listener questions. I'm sorry if your question didn't make it. There were a lot, as you can tell. At the end, we actually decided to make 5 questions to each other, which is how we're going to finish up this 2-year birthday.
Yeah.
Okay, question 1. What is the biggest change you've seen in yourself due to the podcast?
Whew. I forgot these are a bit deep. All right. I guess it's made me think about how I form beliefs. So, like, I guess it's made me try not to be just too much of an automatic, like knee-jerk skeptic when people bring stupid shit up or stuff that, you know, that seems dubious on its face. So, I don't know what, like, what's that stuff where they put little pins in you?
Acupuncture.
And Chinese medicine. And those are all medical examples, but that kind of stuff. You know, I'm trying to not form my judgments as quickly, but I don't really think I've changed in terms of what I consider good evidence. It's just,
Maybe open to hearing the evidence before already having an opinion.
Yeah, I think it's more I acknowledge that, like, there can be good scientific evidence that isn't in a scientific paper. Is what I mean. Like,
that's very good.
It's hard to get a scientific paper published. I remember when I was doing, like, scientific research as a uni student. It's difficult. It takes ages. If you want to get published somewhere good, you got to, like, network and stuff.
Huh.
It's not just that, like, you come across something important and then
people run to you.
Science accepts it. It's difficult. Yeah, it's difficult. And there's a lot. I imagine there's a lot of worthwhile stuff outside of the realm of published scientific papers.
Well, that's cool.
So, question from me to you. Over your 2 years of engaging pretty closely with the crypto community, so on Reddit and people writing to us on Facebook and all the different channels you have, both with like amateur crypto people and like pros, like the lady you interviewed with recently,
Deborah Hatswell.
Has your view of the community changed at all? And do you consider yourself an insider, an outsider, or neither?
Yes, my opinion has changed of the community. I was a little bit, I think I was a little bit behind the times of my opinion. I was a little bit outside looking in, assuming I knew what the community looked like. And starting the podcast, I kind of thought I was a little bit like weird being a female who's that interested in cryptozoology. And then when I started the podcast, a lot of people coming to chat to me and like a lot of the fans are ladies. And I was like, shit yeah, ladies, we are we are part of this community, and you know, they're all, we're not insane, and we are, you know, similar. And it was nice seeing a lot of people who are so similar to myself, which I think, like, for example, the gaming community has a lot of prejudice and stereotypes about it. And then when you actually get into the gaming community as a female gamer, I'm like, oh yeah, heaps of girl gamers in here being awesome. Same as this. I was like, oh no. And then I went into it and I was like, oh yeah, heaps of girl cryptozoologists being awesome.
Okay. Interesting. All right. I have a follow-up question. Do you mind if I do two and then maybe you do two?
Yeah, hit me.
Okay, because it's related to the first question. Do you, having spent 2 years in the community, do you think there is a particular kind of person that's more likely to be a cryptozoologist? Like, is there a certain type or maybe couple of types? Like, as opposed to it just being a pretty random distribution of anyone, like any group. And if there is a certain kind of person or kinds of people that tend to be in the crypto community, is that a good or bad thing?
I think you're going to find a lot of people again and again who are very much like myself. They've probably got overlapping interests like true crime, paranormal, like ghosts and stuff. I think it's people who are generally interested in mystery and maybe see the everyday world, you know, wake up, eat breakfast, go to work, come home, cook, clean, have a shower, sleep. See that as like quite dry and like quite mundane, and see, look at that and be like, really, is that it? Is that life? Because like, what else is there? You know, why is that bumblebee so fat? Why is like this? Why is that? Oh my god, did you hear about that thing? And like that mystery of life and kind of wanting something more, even if what that more thing is a little bit dubious, to use your word, like ghosts or whatever. The fancy of there being more in life is very alluring, and you're willing to be like, I know it's stupid, but it helps me get through day to day knowing, thinking that there's more mystery to the world than there possibly is. So I think there's probably a lot of overlapping interests, like, yeah, true crime, whodunit, you know, love a good whodunit. And whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I think we definitely need more people like yourself in, who, you know, yings to the yangs. Otherwise, you just got a whole bunch of same people being like, I think this because it's interesting. I also think that because it's interesting. Great, it must be true.
I don't want to interrupt, but I know a lot of like famous scientists like Richard Dawkins. They say the reason they got into science is that they felt like it gave them access to the mysteries of the universe that are more than just the humdrum sort of day-to-day stuff. And that's why they got into science. So do you think, like, let's say there's a pool of people that do want there to be something more than just day-to-day life, and they kind of want to go and find out, explore the mysteries of the universe. Why does some of them go into science and some of them go into, like, the crypto community?
Well, there's definitely some overlap. The lucky few who have gone into both science and the crypto community, like Jeff Meldrum, who's a professor, but also has one of the biggest collections of Bigfoot casts, footprint casts. I think cryptozoology allows you to play with the mystery of the universe without having to dedicate your life to it, I guess.
That's interesting. Like an amateur scientist, kind of.
Yeah. Whether it be like you don't have the intellectual application or the energy or the bother, or like, you know, you want to also party.
You're busy. Yeah.
You're busy. You want to spend time with your family.
That's interesting.
I think we can definitely use more opinions. There's nothing wrong with more opinions and different opinions. I think in anything in life, more opinions, different opinions equals a better result.
I would disagree, but that's interesting point of view. You know, when you go shopping, there's like 20 different brands of peanut butter. That's not a good thing.
That's not opinions. That's,
well, that's what the internet's options. Like. It's just like, oh my god, there's a lot. You need to be some effective system for filtering it, like the upvotes and downvotes on Reddit. Like, if you don't have that, then it's just chaos. But anyway.
Fair enough.
Feel free to ask one of your questions.
Okay. How would you rank the best to least valuable evidence out there out of witness sightings, footprints, photographs, videos, unknown hair results, unknown scat results, audio recording, and folklore.
Okay.
I
might have to write those down. Yeah. Straight off the bat, I would say it depends on the quality of the thing in question. You know, you can have a shit footprint.
That's true.
But I don't know. Do you want to go first? Do you have a... Or is this a question for me?
This is a question for you.
From you. You came up with this question.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
Are you surprised?
Sorry.
Why are you surprised?
I think I heard it wrong. I thought you said, like, someone on the internet. No. Sorry. Edit that out. This is a really good question. Okay. Yeah. It definitely does depend. I think... honestly, I think a really good video is probably one of the strongest bits of... Oh, no, actually, not true. Sorry, you've got DNA stuff on here. When you say scat results, you mean like a pile of poo, right?
Yeah, it came back as, like, this has come from something unknown.
Yeah, I think DNA, definitely. Like, scat, hair, right at the top. Yeah. Underneath that, I would have video. Photos are hard just because they can be doctored, but... I mean, I know you can doctor videos a little bit with, like, deepfakes and stuff, but you have to have some kind of footage to, like, stitch them together. So I think videos is more protection against that. Photos, I would count photo as very good evidence if you had also, like, sent it to a digital alteration expert and they'd confirmed it hadn't been doctored.
Mm-hmm.
Footprints, I don't know where I stand on footprints, really. I know there are footprint experts, but I don't know if, like, actual scientists and, like, forensic experts, whether they would, how much they rely on footprints, and whether they think you can use a footprint to determine, like, an unknown species. So I'm not sure where I put footprints. I'm a bit unclear on that. Audio recordings, I put very low, because I know you can make up all kinds of sounds. You know, that's, like, in the movie industry, they have people whose job is to be able to come up with almost any sound imaginable.
Clip-clop, 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 yeah, clip-clop.
Exactly.
It's a horse. It's a Jersey Devil.
witness sightings, also pretty low. Probably even lower than audio recordings. And then folklore right at the bottom. That's, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, actually, No. It depends what you mean by folklore. If you mean, like, there's been tons of sightings, and like with the orang pendek, like the villagers just think it's real.
Yeah, they're just like, it's an animal.
And it's like, it's not even sightings, it's just knowledge. That would be higher. If it's folklore, like myths and fables and stuff, that's right at the bottom. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, that's my lab.
Yeah, cool. All right. Question three. Shall I just hit you with the next one?
Yeah, do it.
Question three. In 20 years' time, which cryptids do you think we would have confirmed?
Interesting. Orang pendek.
Right.
I think big cats in England, I hope.
Yep. What about in Australia?
I don't see anything happening in the next 20 years in Australia. Hmm. The cat fox thing?
Yeah.
What was that called? It was just called the cat fox.
It was called the cat fox, yeah.
Yeah, because there were those sightings that looked kind of like, yeah, might be something there. I'm not sure on that one, but, like, I wouldn't be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it.
Tassie tiger?
I'm not sure about the Tassie tiger. I'm not sure. I'd have to review the evidence, but, yeah, at this stage, I'm not putting it in my, like, yes, it'll happen in the next 20 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Do you want to ask me a question?
All right. Do you think that in an ideal world, cryptozoology wouldn't exist because science would be more open-minded and ordinary people would have greater respect for scientists, like the two communities would just merge? Or is it appropriate that there's two communities, with one being a bit more sort of rigorous and doubting and the other sort of telling them off and being a bit more open to stuff?
So in an ideal world, what would I have?
Yeah.
I would have it merge more. So I would have a category of mythical beasts or, like, mythical monsters, like, mm-hmm. or monsters, which include, like, unicorns and gargoyles and vampires and, you know, things that are, like, fun make-believe monsters, right? Like the boogeyman or whatever.
Yeah.
That would be mythical monsters. And then animals that are not proven to exist yet would sit closer to science, like they could still be called cryptids, and there still could be like cryptozoology, the study of those, that group of things, like the orang pendek, the owie. But it would be like more of a scientific section. Like there's zoology, looking into tigers and hippos. Cryptozoology, studied to be a cryptozoologist, and like, you know, like the ye old, who was the guy who went, the Finch guy, who went to the island and documented all the finches? Oh, Charles Darwin. Yeah, you know, that old chestnut.
Yeah, no, I see. Yeah.
He was like a cryptozoologist of the era, right? He was like, oh, I've heard about these finches that are different on these islands. Let's study them and go and like explore. It would be more of a thing you could study and do as a job.
I think that would be really cool. Because like in the old days, it was like there were these places no humans had ever been to and explorers went there. And now it's like we've kind of been everywhere and the border of our ignorance is like better understanding the places we've already kind of been to a couple of times. Going into the Amazon, going to places where there's supposed to be a weird creature and no one's really checked it out.
Yeah.
You know.
Deep into the ocean, yeah.
Okay, I have another follow-up question. So can I do another two at once?
Okay, yeah, go for it.
So this is number four coming up. So you've said it would be good for the two communities to come close together. I agree. Do you think the scientific community or the crypto community has more work to do in bringing those communities together? Because I agree that like science definitely probably needs to be a bit more open to like there being important evidence that's not in like scientific paper form, and like following leads that ordinary people come up with through sightings and stuff. I agree that's true, but I also think there's a lot of people in the crypto community that don't have enough respect for the hard work that goes into science and that needs to go into science to, you know, they just want scientists to acknowledge that something exists based on probably what isn't enough evidence.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my immediate reaction is it's the scientists that have to open up, because like you could have a whole bunch and do have a whole bunch of cryptozoologists being like, please listen to me, please, 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 please just listen to me. It's like the scientists have the upper ground to like open that door and be like, okay, come in, show me your evidence, I'll test it. And it would be such a cleaner process instead of being like, like there's these TV shows every now and then and there'll be people and they'll be like, I'm certain that this is like Monsters and Mysteries in America is like this really dramatic cryptozoological show where they're like, Dave from Alabama has found mysterious hair. And he's like, oh, I found this mysterious hair. Okay, that's too Australian, but whatever. And he's like talking about it and they're like, could this be Bigfoot hair? And it's like, how about a scientist just goes, yep, oh, it's not, done. Next thing, get out there again, Dave.
It'll be go much more efficient. Yeah, yeah.
Just like we don't need to like dramatic everything. Dramatic.
But do you think that like you can send it to labs as an ordinary person? Like you pay a couple hundred bucks and they'll do it for you. It's not closed off.
Who has a couple of hundred bucks to test stuff?
I guess that's what I mean. Like, should the government actually be funding scientific agencies, scientific labs, scientific research groups to focus on these questions, or is that opening a Pandora's box and would that be a huge waste of public funds that could be better spent elsewhere?
I think they should, but I can see why they're not, because in their mind, we've got enough animals already, right? They're already like screwing over the orangutans in Sumatra and, you know, polluting, the water's already polluted for all the whales. Like they're trying to ignore like climate change and stuff, right? So if you discover more animals, you know, if they discover an intelligent, upright, bipedal ape in Sumatra, then that's definitely going to impact on their logging, you know, problems and dam buildings.
Yeah, so, it always amuses me how deep the conspiratorial thread runs in you. That's the last thing they want, man.
Russell's my tinfoil hat. But... Cool. Yeah.
Okay. I think that's a good answer.
Yeah. I would love cryptozoology to be like a thing you could study at university. And
I guess a question from that. I agree with you that scientists have the power. Like they're the ones who can open the door or keep it closed. I guess there are probably a lot of scientists that are afraid of opening the door because they worry it'll just be this tide of shit that flows through.
Yeah.
Do you think the crypto community has any work to do in like cleaning up its act a bit to be taken more seriously by science?
Yeah, Yeah, you gotta separate people who are just bonkers from people who actually try. I would say, like, I try. I look at the evidence. If I think something is false, I will say, you know, there are people who are, like, gonna say Jersey Devil is real to the end of the days, but, you know, there's no evidence for the Jersey Devil at all. I think what actually would be a good solution is if, instead of just being like, anyone can be a cryptozoologist, you can be a cryptozoologist, you can... If zoology, a degree in zoology, had like a sub-major, like, you know, you can like major in bats or whatever. If you could major in like cryptozoology and then as a scientist, open your own door to be like, okay, give me what you got. Because that would be amazing to be that person that discovered this like undiscovered bird or whatever. So yeah. Like I would take that upon me to be like, hey, anything you got, bring it in and I'll test it in my lab and we'll like be rich together. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Thank you. Very good answer. So I've got one after this, but you shoot away with what you've got left.
I've got one that's kind of a little bit similar. So the question for you is, where do you think cryptozoologists go wrong most often? Because they have quite a bad rap. Like, do you think there's anything that they do when collecting evidence for wrong, or like the way they go about talking things? Where do they go wrong?
It's interesting. I would say two things. One is, I think in the community more broadly, not necessarily everyone, but just as a community, I think there's an over-reliance on the things that earlier I put at the bottom of the like credibility ladder. So things like sightings and written accounts. And there's a lot of people who will lean on those because they're emotional or detailed or whatever, and they're satisfied with that. And I don't think that quite cuts it. And the other area, I think, is people flip from cryptid to cryptid a bit too much. If you're in the scientific world, you'll do a PhD on, like, one kind of fucking crystal for 5 years. And then you'll spend another 20 years, like, teaching about it and researching on it. And, you know, you become an incredibly boring person. But, like, that's what it means to be an expert. And in the crypto community, you meet someone who only is looking at one cryptid. There are always believers in a whole bunch of stuff, and they'll have a little bit of evidence on everything, and sometimes they'll have thought reasonably deeply about everything, but never even a fraction as deeply as like a PhD will have thought about what they do. And I don't think that's science being snobbish. I think that's what expertise looks like. And I think you could do that with cryptozoology, you know, like, and you do very occasionally, like you have the guys looking into the Orang Pendik, multiple expeditions over multiple decades. They go there with all the best equipment. They are really trying to find this thing. And I think a lot of people in the crypto community are not doing the work they need to be doing.
That's interesting. That's cool. I never thought of it like that. That's cool.
Yeah. What was that guy? His name was like Victor or something. The guy who went to
Sumatra. Dali.
Oh, no, not him. The guy we made fun of in the podcast episode. The guy who went there a bunch and...
Oh, and Van.
Walton. That guy. Like, as much as I made fun of him, I think that's, like, the epitome of a cryptozoologist.
Whoa!
He wasted his whole life trying to find this thing. Like,
he died because he found a body of it, yeah.
Yeah. My last question was, do you think the rise of cheap, readily accessible HD recording devices is gonna dissolve the crypto community or just answer a lot of the questions? Because in like 30 years, it will just be really implausible to say you had an encounter and you didn't film it, because you'll have like videos in your glasses and shit like that.
I don't think it would dissolve.
And like just presenting a grainy photo will just be like, get the fuck out of here, what are you doing?
How would that dissolve? That would just like weed out all the crap.
Well, no, that's what I mean. So like half of them will become verified and the other half will become like just much harder to believe in.
That's the dream.
Yeah, well, maybe that's the dream. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but do you think like cryptozoology as this space where it's like maybe it's real, maybe it's not, maybe it's bullshit, maybe it's true, do you think that will cease to exist in its current form because...
No, I mean, like, if you think about, like, solving a crime and, like, CCTV, and you gotta, like, Ooh, so is that the
shit though, right?
Why? I'm assuming we're talking about like not the greatest quality. Or are you talking about like super in the future where like glasses record video that are like
amazing? I'm saying like HD. Most people's iPhones and stuff now take really good footage. And I think in 30 years it's all gonna be really good footage. And they're already like replacing the CCTV around London with like proper HD stuff. So yeah, that's what I mean.
I think it'll be a blessing. I think it'll be awesome. And we can like stop talking about that's the thing, we can stop talking about wasting time on silly cryptids that aren't real, in my opinion at least, because there's no evidence, like Nessie, Jersey Devil, fucking Mongolian death worm, and we can spend more time specializing in animals that might be real, like the orang pendek and yaoi or whatever floats your boat.
I like your idea of the joint, like a degree in cryptozoology, and like there are some things like what was that, like with the recently, you know, sometimes we do those sections on like this is a used to be a cryptid but it was recently confirmed.
Yes.
It was like a new species of, like, subspecies of bat or something. And someone found, like, one specimen of it. And so now science has said it's a real thing. But, like, there should be, you should be able to sign up to a degree where you're like, okay, we know this is real now, but we've only got one bit of data on it. Now we need to figure out all about this species. It's like, that would be cool work. That's like you're an explorer, you know? This is,
Yeah, like the silverback chevrotain.
Hang on,
they're like, does it still exist? It kind of was extinct and then it came back and we found the skin and is it still out there? Yeah, it was like the least known 25 animals in the world. And I talked about when that Daniel Craig got the turtle who peed on him.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would so be into that. Oh my God. I would take that course. Yeah, that'd be great.
What's your
final question?
I'm braced for it to be silly.
It's silly. If Obama said that he had seen a Bigfoot, would you believe in Bigfoot?
No, I would. I would only believe in it if Obama could prove that he'd used the many agencies at his fingertips to come up with evidence of it. No, you can't take people at their word. It's not sloppy. You don't do that.
Anyone, is there anyone in the world that if they said I saw a Bigfoot, you would believe?
No.
Your own mum?
No, I wouldn't 100% believe. No. If someone like you or someone else who I'd known personally and implicitly trusted said it, then there'd still be like in my mind 1% chance that they're lying and have just become untrustworthy. And then there would be a reasonable doubt that they have they're mistaken. I wouldn't. And, needs to be more.
Fair enough. Well, wow. That was a big chunky boy.
It was a chunky boy.
That was a wonderful chat, just talking shit with you for like 2 hours. That was, I really needed that, so thank you.
that's all good. Okay, cool.
All right.
We haven't said goodbye. All right. Thank you for making it to the end of the two-year anniversary special. That's got a bit of a, like, Fast and Furious, Too Fast, Too Furious sort of vibe to it. You made it. Well done. We love having you as listeners. It's going to keep on going. Quality will improve. The quantity hopefully will not drop too much. Please stick with us and send us any suggestions, send us anything. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much your support.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Thank you.